Today on Snail Trail 4x4, no more Toyotas. What? Just kidding. We couldn't do that.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Bestline Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Beat time.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome all the Toyotas are, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs, my name is Tyler, and joining me here in the electronic studio, also known as the World Wide Web, because we are being bubble people again, is the one and only Mr. Jimmy Jet. Jimmy, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Tyler. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Still hunkered down, hunkered in the bunkered.
Nice. I am as well at this point in time, which is about a week in the future or in the past.
Oh, yeah. A week in the future past, the past future.
Future past, yeah.
The future past? Okay, nice. Very cool. So, what have you been up to? How's your day been? Has it been pretty good thus far? Has it been pretty bad? Are you staying cozy at home? You look kind of cozy there in your chair.
I am pretty cozy, though for those that are listeners to the podcast will know that I have now pretty much transformed my house into an office, and I live at the assistant's house for the most part. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really been running the heater ever. Uh-huh. And I show up in the morning and the house is about 52 degrees inside.
What have you been doing? Have you been creating havoc?
Pretty much, yeah. And so I start a fire and gets up into the 70s by the time I leave, and then the next morning it's back down to the 50s.
Oh. You don't have fans going to cool off the house now then, while it's 40 degrees outside?
To cool it off?
Yeah. Remember that one time I came over and it was like 85 or something in the house, and it was 40 degrees outside, and you had the doors open and fans going to try and pull in the outside air?
It was freaking scorching. No, my fireplace cranks. It's awesome. It's a insert that has like, it's double insulated with fans between the insulation and blows all the heat out. And so, no, I mean, by the time I leave, I just let the fire die down and take off, and it cools down overnight.
Excellent.
Oh, man. Too much fun on the Christmas tree board. Speaking of Christmas trees, I got to go out and get a Christmas tree.
Oh, nice.
That was fun. That was actually the first time I've ever gone and cut down my own Christmas tree before. So it was an interesting experience. I got to be a lumberjack for the afternoon. But
it's fun. It's a good thing to do with a kiddo.
Or with an adult that behaves like a kid.
Are you talking about yourself or the secretary?
Maybe. Probably me. Oh, nice. Man. So cool. We have a fun episode here today. We're going to argue a lot.
Probably.
You're already wrong. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm right and you're wrong. So, but before we get there, I want to have everybody, you know, make sure you go check out the Patreon account over there, SnailTrail4x4. I guess patreon.com/SnailTrail4x4. Because we have a giveaway going on, thanks to Morflight doing a Vyaire 400H compressor. That's a hard mount. So it's all set up to be able to mount somewhere on your vehicle. Has the automatic cutoff on it, so it'll shut itself off at 150 PSI, which means you can plumb it into an air tank if you want and use it for onboard air to run lockers or just air up your tires even faster with your Morflight. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool system. It's Vyaire, so they do a really good job with compressors. Definitely go and check that out. You can find that through the end of the month. So until, I guess, through the end of the year, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Dang, that went crazy quick. I was actually looking over our episodes, kind of like our episode list, to see what kind of stuff we've already covered. What could we cover for today? And I got to the point where we went up into Pollock Pines and did a bunch of recoveries and drove through people's driveways to pack down their snow. And I was like, man, that was almost a full year ago now.
Was it really?
I think so. I think it was mid to late January. And then the trip where we went out to Winter Fun Fest, the Winter Fun Fest trip, that was kind of middle of January. So, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
The year seems to be ever so slowly creeping along day to day, but it does seem to have gone by pretty fast if you look back.
Yeah, I think that there's been a lot of people that have had to adapt to the situations this year, and there's been a lot of people that haven't been able to just kind of be in their groove, and so I think that when you have to constantly be adapting, time goes by a little bit quicker because you're just not, you know, just cruising. You're not cruising, right? You're constantly trying to keep up with whatever's going on.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I've said it before and I'll just say it again. It's like my life hasn't changed that much, you know. Yeah. I mean, I work from home anyway and, you know, do podcasts and YouTube videos and social media work. And so when everything was shut down and now that everything's kind of shutting down again, I seem that, you know, it just, that hasn't changed for me. And a lot of people are struggling, but I'm like, yep, it's just the same old day.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been kind of the same way. I'm like, man, social distancing champions already. I've been training 5 years for this moment, right? This year. So.
Yeah. All the introverts have been happy.
Exactly. Oh, man. Yeah. My only regrets for this year is that, Kermit went down and in like June or July. So I didn't get as much wheeling in as I wanted to get in. But I have I don't want to say a much better vehicle now, but I have a really fun vehicle again. So he's all set up, ready to go with some kind of big improvements, some upgrades, and some that, you know, I just got to use them more to figure out if I really, really like or not.
Yeah, no, definitely. And hopefully we'll hear more about that on Thursday.
Yeah. Should I have some fun stories for you guys?
There you go.
But you have to wait for a few more days to get them. So, yeah, we have that. So just thank you everybody out there for supporting us throughout the year. It's been a really fun year, even with, kind of the social distancing that's been going on. We haven't been able to do a lot of the stuff that the goals we had for the podcast at the beginning of the year. Like, we wanted to do a few meetups. We wanted to, go and do a special run on the Rubicon, which never happened. So there was a lot of different stuff that we wanted to do with the podcast. Some off-roading events to go to. We had some cool things that we were going to partner up with Gear Wrench on, throughout the state of California. So it all kind of got thrown out the door, and hopefully we'll get to kind of reconvene and do some of those next year. So we'll hopefully kind of make up for 2020 here.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, I don't want to dive down this rabbit hole, but I was just watching the news earlier today. And even though the virus shots might be coming out here this week or, you know, next week, a doctor came online saying that we're still going to have to hunker down for a bunch of months because it takes a while for everything to come into effect. So we'll see what happens. Net 2021 is going to be an interesting year, and hopefully it's a good transition to from boring to fun.
Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily a plus side, but newsworthy item is DoorDash went public today as of when we're recording. So $102 a share, if anybody pays attention to the stock market, that's one I don't foresee going down anytime soon.
No.
So there's your stock market tip from the off-roading guys. I don't know how much you want to take it.
Since we're talking about that, I did see that Steve Wozniak partnered up with a what do you call those? It's not Bitcoin, but it's a something like Bitcoin. It's another cryptocurrency. It's another cryptocurrency.
Uh-huh.
And it went public and went to like $300 million, you know, of its value is like multi-million dollars instantly within it opening.
Wow. Yeah, cryptocurrency, that's been one thing I've never wrapped my head around how cryptocurrency works and all that. But I have a buddy that invested a little bit of money in cryptocurrency and made a really nice profit of it, off of it a few years ago, and has used it to do some cool stuff and get some fun toys with. So,
Me as well.
Yeah. Wait, you invested in cryptocurrency and got some cool stuff?
No. I have a buddy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. Well, cool. Anything else we want to say to updates, get into anything you can think of before we interrupt the regular scheduled programming with interruptions?
Nope, let's do it.
Cool. We're going to take a quick break. Go ahead and grab your drinks, grab your Cords mugs. If you're one of the lucky people to get one in your snail trail box. And we'll be right on back with today's campfire discussion.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, all the gentle ladies out there. To today's campfire discussion, we have a fun debate, I think, this is going to be. We talked a little bit about how we were going to do this beforehand. We came up with our choices. We haven't explained those choices to each other yet, what they are. But we said that the choices we were selecting were our preferences. And we had the option of choosing what we thought was the best option for these categories, or whether what we would choose for those categories. And in my head, I'm like, isn't that the same thing? Come on, you know you want to laugh.
Nope, not the same thing.
Whatever.
Because I would probably choose a Jeep for one of these topics, and I didn't.
Which, we don't have a ship box topic. Which one would you throw all your garbage in?
I'll let you know when we get to that topic.
Okay. Oh, man. I'm hilarious. So,
but we do have a shitbox topic.
Kind of, yeah. So what we're going to do is we came up with a couple of categories that are our vehicle categories, right? Something that would work in the off-roading world, ways you would use a vehicle, and what vehicles would we choose for those? We've kind of done something similar to this in the past, but we've always been kind of specific to Toyotas. So now we're going to open it up to all the vehicles, and we'll see how this turns out, because I'm kind of curious. I don't know if we have actually ever discussed this, you and I, without being on a podcast or being recorded or anything.
No, I don't think we have.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So is there any other ground rules you want to lay out and throw out really quick to try and throw off your competition?
No, not really. I think that I have kind of on one or two topics, I have two items, and it's sort of like for me, it would be what I would choose or what I think is the best. And we kind of covered that a little earlier, but I was going to cover the topics that we are going to be covering today, which are, we're going to talk about what is the best rock crawler, what is the best desert rig, overland rig, what is the best full size. And that one's completely up into the air about which direction we're going to go.
Yeah.
And what is the best, cheap truck out there?
Nice. I do know we did have one ground rule, no buggies.
Correct.
So it had to be a production vehicle. But we didn't necessarily say it has to be street legal.
I think that
it just has to be a production vehicle.
For the most part, fairly street legal is something you could kind of buy and build up.
Yeah, it has to be within reason. You can't just like buy something and then completely gut it out and turn it into something it's not for its purpose kind of thing. So I think within reason, production vehicle.
I might need to change some of my answers.
I think there's just one I might need to change according to that rule, but we'll see when we get there.
Yeah. I'm going to ignore you said that.
Okay, good. I'll ignore it too then. How's that?
Deal.
All right. Who came up with these ground rules? Crazy people. They're just trying to make havoc.
Do you want to start us off for rock crawling? What is the best option of rock crawlers out there?
Yes. So I will start it off, and I'm going to say an FJ-40.
I almost wrote that down.
It was, for me, it was between an FJ-40 or an 85 pickup, just because they're such good platforms to do whatever you want. They have a ton of aftermarket support. Anything and everything you could ever want to do to those vehicles has already been done and documented. So it's all out there, whatever you want to do. And they're nice, lightweight. They've got good wheelbases. The FJ-40 ended up winning out for me because it's pre-emissions. So it's pre-1975. Okay. So that means you can do whatever you want to the engine and emissions and everything and still have it be street legal. Technically, depending on how wide your tires stick out and all this other stuff. So, I chose the FJ-40. It's super lightweight. You can have a full enclosed hard top. You can have a soft top. You can do, no top. You can completely cut all the body panels off, take the doors off and run it like an old style Jeep if you want to. They're very, very Lego-ish. They've got pretty good axles under them. They're usually kind of the coarse 10-spline axles, but they do have nice axles under them. The only downside to the production models is, in my opinion, they were a little on the narrow side, a little on the short wheelbase side, and they didn't have any lockers. Yeah. So those would be my only complaints about the production side, but because there's so much stuff you can do to them, that's why I think the FJ-40 won it out for me for rock crawling, combined with its weight. It's difficult to make an FJ-40 too heavy for rock crawling.
Yeah, they're definitely awesome rock crawlers. They're a great rig. And if you have no idea what an FJ-40 is, then if you picture a Jeep Willys, you pretty much have a copy of an FJ-40.
Pretty much.
And you guys can argue which one came first, and I think we all know that answer. But they're a great rig, and you can definitely build them up to be amazing rock crawlers, that's for sure.
Yeah, so what was your preference of rock crawler?
Yeah, so mine was not necessarily what is the best rock crawler out there, but it's more of what rock crawler would I love to have. Mm-hmm. And mine is a first-gen Tacoma quad cab.
Ah, okay.
Pretty so much your dad's
my dad,
rig.
My dad's truck.
yeah. I think they're awesome. If Brian Reynolds is out there, if he wants to let me have his, I'll be more than happy to take it.
I almost talked him into that one time, but me letting me have it, so not you.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. We were bullshitting one time about just straight up swapping for my Tacoma,
uh-huh.
And for his rig, but I couldn't do it. But those rigs, I mean, man, if you throw some full width axles underneath those and, start caging it up a little bit, and they've got the 3.4 motor, the V6, which you just put into Kermit,
mm-hmm.
you can set them up with dual cases, just like you did in Kermit. You can have a great drivetrain, lots of gear options, all the torque. And they have a ton of different aftermarket options.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is the category that I would say, if I were to be, bluntly honest and, say what possibly is the best rock crawler out there, I think somebody would say the Jeep JK, just because of all the aftermarket options and components and everything for it. But I'm not going to be the person that would say that.
Yeah, I think that's a good discussion to have, though, right? Like, the JK is, especially the four-door, I think the four-door JK is a phenomenal rock crawler once you get it up on 40s. And the downside mm-hmm. to the four-door JK is that it's a really heavy vehicle. So in order to put that rig on 40s, you really got to beef up the axles and the suspension. So yeah, there's, but the nice thing is that all that's out there to do it with. My only beef about them is that they're just so heavy for rock crawling. So
they are, they're heavy rig, but the options that are available to them is like 10 times what is available for any other vehicle out there on the market, you know?
Yeah.
And you start looking at the whole entire Jeep lineup and it's, you know, they're built and designed to be off-road vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still, you know, they have, I'm talking about the wagon or the Wrangler for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come with a solid axle. You know, if you get them, if you get the Rubicon edition, they've got lockers in the front and rear. You know, their approach angles, departure angles are outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have the best belly clearance, but they've got really good belly clearance.
Yeah.
You know, and they're made for it. And that's, you know, they're designed to go do the wheeling that we like to do. We just ignore them.
Yeah. And the big benefit with it when you buy a JK, it comes with a $200 Starbucks gift cards too. So
yeah, you know, that's I think the majority of the reason why people buy it.
True. I am really curious to see what Ford can do with the Bronco and how much of an impact they can make on the Wrangler market with the new Bronco once it comes out. I was thinking about putting that into a couple of my options here, but it's technically not available as a production model quite yet. So yeah, it didn't make my list anywhere.
I was thinking that it would end up on your overlanding category.
I thought about it.
Yeah, I was going to argue that it's not there. It's not available, so you can't do it. But yeah, so for me, it would be, I mean, I think the Jeep, even the JL or down to the LJ, all those are outstanding rock crawler options just because of what's available out on the market and the ease of getting parts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many of them available that, you know, if you're in Moab, you can get a radiator pretty easily.
As opposed to a 22RE radiator.
Yeah, exactly. But I would love to have a quad cab Tacoma.
Yeah, I agree. I really, really like the way my dad's truck works and handles, but he's, you know, he's also on full widths and full skid bellied, flat bellied, and he's, you know, he's, there's a lot of work that's gone into that truck, but I do love having an enclosed cab for a rock crawler.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, this will be on a build list on Snail Trail 4x4 one day.
Nice.
I mean, that's going to happen, but I don't know when.
We could have made a chop top out of my donor rig.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. Make a convertible four-door Tacoma.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Don't put it past. I saw that rig and I started thinking about it.
Did you really?
I did.
That's funny. Nice. All right. So next category. I think both of those are right up there. I think you chose really well with the four-door first-gen Tacomas. So cool.
Thank you.
Desert. What do we got going on for the desert?
I'm really off the wall on this one.
You're really off the wall?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm curious to hear what you have to say. Go for it.
I would build a Toyota Stout.
For the desert?
Yes, I would long arm it. I'd make it independent front suspension. I'd long arm it. I'd make a big old long travel hoops in the rear, and I'd probably put an engine in it because this is a smog exempt vehicle because they're so old. So you could put any engine inside of there that you want. And it's already a two-wheel drive setup. I don't think they made four-wheel drive ones of these. Mm-hmm. So this would be a straight-up Baja Racer built out of it. More or less, it'd be a crazy Baja Racer with a Toyota Stout body.
Nice. You're just going to take a Class A buggy and put a Stout buggy on it?
Kind of, though we were saying we are not allowed to do buggies, but yeah. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I think they came with a solid axle. Don't quote me on that. It's a two-wheel drive. Maybe I'm wrong, but, I mean, they were built in like 66, 7, and 8. I'm not sure what they were, if they had a front independent suspension on those then, or if they were a solid axle, but I think it was only a two-wheel drive, so.
Gotcha.
Not sure.
That's an interesting option. That just sounds like a lot of work, but it does, sounds like
it
a
sounds
lot of
like
fun.
It'd be badass looking,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah. I went for ease of just getting something and getting out there. I went with the Ford Raptor. So to go out for Baja stuff. They have that nice V8, really sweet V8 engine. They're wider track width, so they have a ton of stability. They're a long wheelbase. So they're just ripping through the desert. There's not much that can, in my opinion, beat the desert performance off the factory floor than a Ford Raptor. And they're super cush inside too. I was kind of impressed with them. So that would be, in my opinion, kind of production model. What would be the best one? Now, what I would have for a desert rig, I still want to build a T100 and just cut out the floor of the bed, cage it up and throw in some triple bypasses. And, I would go rip with one of those and just keep the 3.4 in it, or go out of state and put like a Hemi in it or something. So, yeah.
I didn't even think of the Raptor, but that's an excellent option for sure. Those guys, I mean, they're built for that stuff. They love going fast in the desert.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. I did have a close mention on here just because they haven't really been out long enough to figure out how well they do or how well they don't do, is the Dodge T-Rex.
Yeah, I was curious if you're going to bring that up right now. But yeah, when you said the Raptor, I thought about that also. But I don't know, man. I don't know if they're like the suspension is built up to be doing that, or if they just pretty much took a vehicle and then threw the big old
Hellcat into it. Yeah. Said,
you know, it'll keep up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. All I know about the T-Rex is that it has the Hellcat. And then from there, I don't know what the suspension looks like. I don't know what the axles look like. So I'm kind of curious if, you know, it would keep up with a Raptor in a quarter mile, I think, no problem. But would it be able to keep up with a Raptor for a quarter mile through 3-4 foot whoops? That's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah. No idea.
Don't know.
So the next category that we had on our list is an overland rig.
Okay.
What is the best or your preference overland rig out there?
So you asked me later on after we came up with this list, you said, hey, should we throw in a category here for daily driver? And I was like, that would be my overland rig. Anyways, I just thought that was funny. I crack myself up. So,
yeah,
anybody out there with
I think my daily driver would be different than an overland rig. Overland rigs get heavy, and there's a lot of gear that I might not want to remove every single time. Because mine's obviously a truck.
Yeah. Mine would be too. What is your overland vehicle then?
All right. This category for me is, what is the best overland rig out there?
Okay.
And you can't buy it in the United States.
Ah, okay.
It's an FJ70. One of those FJ70s with the truck style and a diesel.
Okay.
And I would lift it up a little bit to give it like, you know, maybe 35s, get a little bit of ground clearance under there, make it, those things already have a pretty decent approach and departure angle, but I would want the truck style so that I could add some sort of like camper on the back, or, you know, like whether it's like the full fledged camper where you remove the bed and you actually have like the full camper over there, or if it's some sort of like go fast camper, you know, I would do something like that.
Okay. So you went Australian on us.
Australian, I did, or African. I don't know which way you want to, whichever direction you want to go, east or west.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely do an FJ70 version. And I don't know the numbers well enough to say like a 72 or 75 or whatever it is, but one of those models.
Okay. That's a decent choice. And so you would just do a small lift on it, maybe 33s or 35s, you said?
Yeah, well, an overlander, an overlander is different than a rocklander. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where you're not hitting the Rubicon necessarily in your overland rig.
Uh-huh.
You know, you would wheel to the overland, or you'd wheel, you know, you'd overland to Loon Lake and then jump in a rock crawler.
Yeah.
right? And so, I don't think that you need to have, for an overland rig, I think 35s, maybe 37s. is mm-hmm. as big as you need to go. But overlanders drive so far of distances that gas mileage is important. So yeah. I would probably keep it a little lower.
That's why I was a little interested on your choice to go with the diesel.
Yeah, well, diesel here in America is very odd, but in the rest of the world, it's not. And though this vehicle's in the rest of the world and it's not in America, but it's yeah. torquey and it's, you know, and they have a reliable motor and, you know, they're, I don't know. It's, you know, diesels don't get bad gas mileage.
No.
And that's another reason I would probably keep this one a little lower. This diesel doesn't get as good as gas mileage, but if you don't, you know, lift it too high and you put the appropriate gears in, it probably would get decent gas mileage.
Yeah, probably.
And if it's a turbo diesel, then it's even better.
Nice. Put a little snail in there. That's interesting, because if I was going to do an overlanding rig, I guess it would depend on what part of the world I was planning on going through, because like you said, pretty much the whole world uses diesel, except for North America. So,
yeah. And diesel's available in a lot of places.
It is. I would be concerned about getting too far out and then not being able to find diesel in the United States. It is available in a lot of places, but it's definitely not as available as gasoline is.
I think it's more readily available than what you are concerned about. I think, you know, like if you're driving through Nevada and you're on a major highway, almost every gas station in the middle of nowhere in Nevada is going to have it all those trucks that are driving through the state, you know, if you're talking about out in the middle of, you know, Pruntucky or, you know, like in the middle of, you know, forest wilderness where it's a small town. Yeah. Maybe it'll be a little bit more scarce, but you know, maybe there's, you know, tractors or, you know, farm equipment out in that area that needs diesel also. So I think it's, you know, it's almost rare to find a gas station that doesn't have at least a diesel pump.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. I went with, what do I think is the best one? And I wouldn't mind having one of these either for overlanding. But what I think is the best and which one I would really want to have the most are two different things.
Okay.
What I think is the best is a dual cab long bed TRD off-road Tacoma. They have the four-door dual cab. So it's you got a lot of space inside the cab to keep stuff inside that needs to stay weatherproofed. And with the long bed option finally in the off-road trim model, you can get a long bed with the 8.8-inch e-locker in the rear. So if I'm going to go overlanding, I want at least one locker in the rig. And being able to get that from the factory and be able to get that truck up on 33s, but put some better gears on it so that it's getting, you know, 18 to 20 miles per gallon. I think that would be a great overlanding setup. And you have that extra long bed to throw anything and everything you really want in there. Tons of space for activities. So yeah. That would be my choice for... Okay. That would be what I think would be the best overlanding option. And just because that's really where the overlanding market kind of is right now is in Tacomas and 4Runners, 5th-gen 4Runners. So there's a lot of aftermarket support, a lot of really cool goodies and gadgets and the things you can throw on them to make your overlanding experience and kind of living out of your vehicle while you're traveling long distances very easy and attainable. Now, if I was going to get a vehicle specifically for overlanding, I think my favorite vehicle to get would be an FJ80.
Yeah.
So, and specifically a 1994 to 1997, triple locked FJ80. So,
yeah, definitely. I almost put FJ62 on my list, and then I was like, oh, wait, what about the 70?
Yeah, the 62 would be another really good one. They just, I don't think they get quite as good gas mileage as the FJ80, and that would be my only concern. So
I doubt it, but they have an inline six, so they're super torquey.
Yeah, that is true. Can I take that inline six and put it in the FJ40 for rock crawling?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Sure. Why not?
It's pre-smog.
You can put whatever you want in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, another, that'd be my choice.
Another one that I was expecting you to say would be a Gladiator.
I thought about it. For overlanding, I'd rather have the IFS. Okay. It's a little bit more of a comfy ride with the IFS. Those Gladiators, the 2-liter turbos, four cylinder turbos in there. They don't get good gas mileage at all. You can get the same gas mileage out of the 3.4 liter engine in the Tacomas, or 3.6 liter in the Tacomas.
Oh, interesting.
Once it's properly geared, I should say. For overlanding, it's a good modular setup, the Gladiator. I just don't like the solid axle for overlanding style stuff. Sure. I'd rather have the IFS, so.
Okay. So with your FJ80, what size tires would you go to?
Same thing as the Tacoma, 33s or 35s. Especially with the triple locked FJ80, you don't need really big tires because you've got lockers everywhere.
Sure.
So, having the tire and the rolling radius to get up and over rocks is less of a concern if you can always maintain traction on wherever you do have traction. Whereas like the Tacoma, it needs kind of, in my opinion, it needs a little bit more of the up to the 35 inch range just because the front isn't locked. But a lot of the Tacomas, especially the later models with the 8.8 inch, which is that dual cab long bed off road, they will have A-Track in them now. So if it's an automatic, yes. Which is, I would get an automatic with an overlanding rig. So that A-Track acts and behaves like a retroactive locker rather than a proactive locker. It's a retroactive locker, but it kind of does the same thing. It works to achieve the same thing. So, 33s to 35s with a Tacoma, and 33s I think would be perfectly fine on an FJ80. The nice thing about the FJ80 is they're just so plush. They're a really comfy ride. They're coil sprung everywhere on all four corners. They do have that solid front axle in the front, which, it is fully enclosed cab, so you can keep everything out of the weather. You can go and do whatever you want in whatever weather you want, and you're going to be good to go. So that's my choice.
So what sleeping quarters would you run with the FJ80?
I'd put a rooftop tent on it, run the sleeping quarters up top.
So you'd run it up top?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. And my only beef about the quad cab long bed Tacoma, because when I was looking to buy trucks, I was looking at those, but it's 140 inch wheelbase.
Yeah, 140, 143, something like that.
They're freaking long.
It's a long truck, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Charlotte, which is the quad cab short bed, is 3 inches longer than Bobcat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that one's even, and so the quad cab long bed's even longer than that.
Yeah, my 07 Tacoma was a quad cab long bed, but it was the Sport because they didn't do that model, that trim model, in an off-road back then. I don't think it was until 2018 or 2019 model years that they finally added the dual cab long bed offered in the off-road trim model.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's 143 inch wheelbase, at least on the 07 Tacoma, and it was a long ass truck, but it was super nice to pack stuff and have all that space in the bed for packing anything and everything I ever wanted. I always had leftover spare room for, you know, weekend trips, and I could barely fill it up for week-long trips. So it was a really nice option to have. And I think, you know, I've noticed, especially with like your Tacoma or other Tacomas out there, I look at them and I'm like, the bed's so short compared to what I'm used to. So I would want that long bed if I was doing overlanding stuff.
I think the fact that I have the short bed on Charlotte, I'm just used to it because Bobcat's bed is pretty much the same exact size.
Yeah.
And so, and that was just random that I cut 11 inches off of a short bed and made a 5 foot one bed, and the Tacoma is a 5 foot one bed.
Yeah.
So I'm just used to it, but I don't really ever need much more than that. I don't go, like, I don't stack things higher. You know, I like the roof tent, top tent lower, or at level with the top of the tent is level with the top of the cab, you know, so it kind of makes a, you know, an enclosed appearance look of like a forerunner of something, you know, and it helps to me. I'd rather have it not worsen my gas mileage by having something sticking above that. You know, and I don't really need to pack things up so high. I don't, you know, maybe somebody can tell me why they really need their rooftop tent up so high. The only thing I can kind of think about is that then they can stand under it when it's deployed and, you know, use it as an awning or shade. But my tent's so freaking small that, you know, I'd get like a foot of shade or something.
Yeah.
So maybe my whole setup is different than how other people use, you know, other people's setups. And so,
yeah,
I don't know. I think it works well for what I do.
Nice. Yeah. We'll have to have you go on a month long trip in your Tacoma. I think you could do it though. You live pretty simply. So
yeah,
I'm the weirdo that brings a fridge, a battery for the fridge, my three chainsaws, all the recovery equipment you could ever need or want to recover 10 vehicles at one time. So. Yeah.
I think I could do it pretty easily.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm the prima donna over here.
Full size.
Full size. I'll go first.
Okay.
So this one, I know nothing about the full size market, right? I know nothing about full size trucks. Also I didn't try and go and try and do any kind of argument for what I think is the best full size out there. I just went straight for which one I would have. And that is essentially, I would steal CJ with the CJ's Excursion. And if he's not careful, I will steal it one day, just FYI.
Nice.
So yeah, I would do that one. It's a, I don't remember what year it is, but it's a full Excursion. So you have a ton of space inside if you want to do some overlanding, but it has the 7.3 diesel in it. So you can do towing with it just fine. And you can put in the axles since it's running the, is it a solid front in the, I don't know if it is a solid front or not, but,
if it's a four wheel drive version, I believe it is a solid front.
Okay. So yeah, it should be a solid front. I would, you know, set up some lockers in it and go to town. And then you got a pretty decent vehicle that can do everything okay, but doesn't shine at anything. But it's such a versatile rig, especially seeing how you can set one up to kind of do everything the way he's done it. So, yeah, I would go with that Excursion. And again, I don't know what model year it is. It's one of the last years they had the 7.3 diesel in the Excursion. So,
okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are cool. And you know, they're fully enclosed, suburban like, you know, you can, I know that he kind of has a sleeping quarters set up in the rear section of his. And so he doesn't have a rooftop tent or anything. He just, you know, sleeps in the back section and it's, you know, yeah, you can tweak those out to be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm just going to start with what?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to start with, I, for the longest time, was looking for, I think it's a 70, like a 71 Suburban.
Okay.
Which is, they're like,
that's like the really big ones. Yeah. The box, the square body style Suburbans.
Yeah. Square body style Suburban. And it's a 3-door.
What?
So there's 1 door on the driver's side for the driver. And then there's 2 doors on the passenger side for the front passenger and then the rear whole section. And then there's the door in the like the backpack.
Okay.
But I've always loved those. And I've always thought that building some sort of overland tow rig style thing would be a lot of fun with one of those.
That'd be
but
a good one.
That's not my pick.
Oh, okay.
My pick is more or less Clifford.
Really?
Mm-hmm. If I could have gotten Clifford the same year with the 4-door and 4-wheel drive, that would be the perfect vehicle for me.
Isn't that what Ultra 4 Jones has?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think, I don't know if his is a 97 or it's a 96 or 97, but more or less what Ultra 4 Jones rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, pretty much that. I think they're great rigs. It's an amazing tow rig. And that's the only thing I would use a full size for. I don't think I'd ever wheel a full size. I don't think I'd ever use a full size of his own overland rig. I think building a full size desert racer would be pretty badass, but I don't know why I would do that.
Yeah. They'd be just so heavy. You have to have so much power and engine tuning to get it to get up to speed at all.
Yeah, they're big boys, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to do a full-size rig, the only reason I would have one is to do towing.
Towing with?
So that's the direction I'm going. The 7.3 is one of the most reliable diesel motors out there. The 6.7 on the Ford is a great motor nowadays, mm-hmm. and it's a total powerhouse. But, I'm not into the speed, and I don't need to go fast up the hills, and as long as it's reliable, that's what I'm looking. Plus, I like the OBS, the old body style of those Fords. So, nice. Clifford is definitely the rig I would probably have.
Nice. So, I'll go steal CJ with the CJ's Excursion, and then we'll drive it down to Pismo, and we'll go distract Kevin so you can steal the 518 chase truck.
Perfect.
Perfect. I like it. All right.
Hopefully they don't listen to this.
No, they don't listen to the podcast. It's okay.
Speaking of CJ, he recently became a patron of ours.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I think he was just doing it because we threatened him finally. Maybe.
Now, after you told him or threatened him that you're going to steal his rig, he's going to leave, though.
Right. Oh, that's funny. I could see him getting into the treasure hunt once we get the 100%. Treasure hunt. He's going to end 100%. Up being like the first one out to take them all and steal them so nobody else can get them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's cool. So full size. Yeah, I wanted to talk about that Suburban. There's a guy in the Gold Hills Posse that has one of those, the one you were talking about. And he pretty much has, like, I want to say the back half of it is like a chop top with a cage.
Oh, wow.
Either that or the front half was. I forget which one it was. I'm pretty sure it's the back half because front one looks stupid. But it looks really good, and he's done a really good job with it. And it's a really nice looking vehicle. You'll have to check it out sometime.
Yeah, that's cool. A lot of people will take those Suburbans and they'll lower them. The main, whenever people want them, they want to lower it.
Interesting.
And I obviously I don't go that way, and I don't swing that direction. And so
you don't go down.
I would at least put it on 35s, at least, yeah. Or possibly 37s. I think it'd be a cool looking rig.
That's a big rig. It would look, even 35s look small on that rig. It really needs 37, 38s on it to look like they just fit the vehicle.
Yeah, I have a good buddy of mine who has like a. I don't know. Must be a late or an or what do you, like an 88 or 86 Suburban, and yeah. It was on 40s, I think, at one time, or 37s at least. And those tires don't look big when they're on a Suburban.
Yeah.
But man, he would romp around Pismo. It was so fun.
Nice. Would you ever look at the Blazers, the old square body Blazers?
I like those, but I wouldn't rock it as a. They're the reason I need a full size. Those wouldn't really work for me.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh, I could get a beefed up Tahoe. No, that doesn't count.
Gotcha.
You know, I need a full size rig to tow things. That's for the most part. I was actually, since we're still talking about this, I was thinking about, I like the old school like C10 trucks. I think that would be fun to build into a rock crawler one day, but it's one of those things that like, I wouldn't want to damage that vehicle too much. So I don't know how much I'd actually rock crawl it, but I think that I like those body lines too. They're cool rigs, and it would be fun to go down that rabbit hole one day, but no time soon.
Would you want a dually? Because if you're going to just be using it for towing, would you look for something with a dually, or do you still think you would just stick with a four-door, four-wheel drive version of Clifford?
I would, if I could find, I don't know, dualies would definitely be nice. I mean, it would be, you know, you can carry more. If I ran a dually, I would probably do like what Jason from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey does, and, you know, and...
live the Lance
Chris,
life.
I think I do a Lance camper, you know, like Chris and Kobe and, you know,
John,
yeah, everybody, you know, does, you know, they all throw a camper inside of their trucks. And if I was to get a dually, I would definitely throw a camper inside of it. And then I would have a camper and I would tow, and, you know,
yeah.
But it would still the main purpose of it would be a tow rig.
Gotcha. You
know? And I think if you're just towing a trailer, you know, off the hitch, I don't, you know, and I could be completely wrong here, but I don't think you need to have a, you know, a dually in the back. If I was going to go more to like a fifth wheel or gooseneck style, I would probably want to go that direction. And I would love to one day have one of those trucks that could like tow the trailer that you can throw three rigs on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, you know, it's like, okay, load it up. We're going to Moab, you know,
yeah.
One truck with, you know, three rigs on it and then have a car following us that has everybody else in it, you know, that,
yeah.
You know, or just load everybody up in the cab, you know, or something. I don't, you know, it'd be a fun road trip. That's for sure.
Yeah. It would. It'd be an interesting one. It'd be memorable. Mm-hmm. Cool. That's good stuff. Yeah. I thought my, if I ever started towing, I would do like a 30-foot trailer and put a camper on the trailer and then have my rig on the trailer as well.
Definitely. So, that's a good option. And I've seen a lot of people do that. And I was looking at it when I was looking at trailers, but yeah, when the PJ trailer that I bought came on the line, I just jumped on it. It was such a good offer.
I sent you that military trailer for $1,000.
I know. How long was that thing?
That was a 30 footer.
Yeah. And was it 30 footer? And was this a gross vehicle weight of that thing?
31,000, 30,000, 31,000 pounds, something like that. Yeah.
I don't even think Clifford could do that.
Yeah. The trailer itself weighed 11,000 pounds, I believe. It had air brakes built into it. It had had some other stuff. It was on a Pintle, and then the GVW of it rating was 3130, something like that.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny. I was like, it's only $1,000. Let's do it. Nice. Anyways, cool. So what's our last category here?
All right. Last category is cheap truck.
Oh, I got you on this one.
I'll take this one because you went first last time.
Whoa.
and because I have three.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay.
This is sort of like the gift episode with you.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'll start off with saying I think a random off the wall build would be fun. And so anything that you can find that would be cheap, that you think you could build into an off-road rig, I think would be a lot of fun. Like we've seen the Isuzu coming out. We've seen the Mazda popping up. You know, all these vehicles that you don't normally see out on the trail, I think could be a fun build because it's just unique and different.
Yeah. Okay.
Should I do my next one and then let you go?
Oh, so that I thought you were prefacing your choices here. That was one of your choices?
No, that was sort of a generic over, you know, like I think... So here I'll even go, I'll take it a slightly step farther. The assistant's stepdad has a RX 350 Lexus.
Nice. Okay.
Right. And they've pretty much said to me, you could have it if you want it. Right.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't really need a sixth vehicle right now, but it might be fun to build into a vehicle crawler one day and have it more or less be like Max's, KJ. His
Liberty. Yeah, KJ.
Yeah, you know, where, because it would need to build a frame underneath it. You'd have to build everything for this.
Yeah.
And so I think it'd be a lot of fun and I could get it for free. So I consider free a cheap chuck, even though I probably have to drop like 10 grand in parts into it.
Not if we get really, really good at, working deals with Rancho Toyota Recycling.
Steve over there. Right. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I'd end up buying a freaking FJ80 chassis and just swapping bodies or something.
Yeah, there you go. put a Miata on an FJ80 chassis.
Yeah, exactly. So stuff like that I think is cool. And you only do that if it's cheap. Which, you know, and that's sort of the direction I was going. If find something fun and unique and build it into an off-road rig, and that's cool. And I think that works for my cheap chuck.
Okay.
I did want to say that this also is totally in the category of an XJ.
Something cheap and that you would just kind of just destroy to do something fun with.
Yeah, definitely a shitbox.
Yeah.
It's into this category.
Well, what's great about the XJs is that they have a phenomenal engine.
Yeah.
And so you can tear those vehicles to pieces and they'll still run and get you somewhere.
Yeah. And you You'll can have still tires off, brakes don't work, trannies out, but the engine runs.
Yeah. All your body mounts are just torn off of the unibody. There's big old holes in the floorboards, and the engine will just keep going.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. No, that's a good one.
You know, they're not bad off-road rigs.
They're really not. They have a good wheelbase. They're essentially a 4Runner with a unibody and that inline 4 engine. So
As long as you're not going to, I don't think you can really build them like with 37s just because of the way that they're made. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you can start hacking away fenders, or you can start, you know, doing some more like custom work, but there's kits out there that let you slap on 35 super easy, and they wheel really good on 35s. I've seen countless ones on the Rubicon with 35-inch tires on their tiny little axles having a good time.
That is true. The little toothpick axles. Yeah. Oh, man. They don't have a lot of space in the fender wells, like you said. You end up having to chop up the fenders quite a bit. You have to reinforce the unibody a lot to make them really good, kind of all-around hefty off-roaders. But the nice thing is that you can get them dirt cheap, and they have a great engine. They have a great heart and souls, or I guess they're soulless, but they have a good heart. And they just work really well, and because you get them so cheap, you don't really have to worry about beating them up. You're like, whatever. It's like a Baofeng radio, right? You get one, you destroy it, you're like, eh. All right, that was a $25 battery with a free radio. Get me another one.
Right, yes.
And so, yeah, you're essentially paying, you know, $1,000 for a nice engine, and you're getting a free body and suspension and axles, toothpick axles under it for it all too. That's a good option. They can do some great stuff. In order to put bigger tires on them, you have to lift them really high. So you end up having to really kind of start concerning yourself with a rollover on off cambers and center of gravity, but you can keep them, like you said, on 35s. They do really well. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. So what was yours?
Mine was a Montero Sport.
Oh, geez.
Florida Frank made me do it. That's all I'm going to say. No, back when we did the obscure axles episode, I ended up kind of falling into this rabbit hole, researching the Montero Sports because of that 9.5-inch axle in it with the air locker. And it's actually a pretty decent vehicle that you can find. Like, you can find them for $500 to $1,200 that setup in them. It's getting harder to find them nowadays because people are starting to figure out that those have really nice axles, and you can find them at junkyards. I would probably go with one of those, or just a simple 85 Toyota pickup, just because you used to be able to find those for pretty damn cheap. They're starting to get expensive now because they're turning into collector's items, especially for Central and South America. But I'm going to go with the Montero Sport, and I think the 1996 was the good year with the bigger engine that had that 9.5-inch e-locker rear axle. So you can get a pretty decent, very capable rig for pretty inexpensive because people don't want them.
Right. Yeah. Well, my last one on the list of this one was, and you kind of hit it on the head there with the 85, but mine's just a second gen pickup.
Okay.
The 85 is definitely the golden child. Mm-hmm. You get an 84 pickup and it's like a few $100. You know, you get an 86 pickup, it's a few $100. You buy an 85 and it's a few $1,000.
Yeah.
You know? And so yeah. If you get an 86 through 88, there's benefits with that one that, you know, you come with, you can get the 22 RE, mm-hmm. you get the independent, suspension rear axle, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, for the most part, it's got a good body. It's got, you know, it's decent. It's a Toyota pickup, and it's got the drivetrain that you can adapt to almost anything. Mm-hmm. I would definitely stay away from the 3.0 unless you want to do some head work. But if you have the 22 RE, you got the, you know, a good transmission, you are either ending up with that G1 or the W, series. And then, you know, you can adapt the T cases. You can do it in, once you do the solid axle swap, you know, that you can do for a few grand, you already end up with the independent power steering box. You know, it to get into a good rock crawler, it's pretty cheap and easy with that second gen Toyota pickup.
Yeah, it really is. And there's a lot of parts out there and a lot of knowledge out there. Like I said, that's one of the vehicles that I was thinking about for the rock crawler, my rock crawler option. Just because there's so much aftermarket support, not really aftermarket support. There's a lot of aftermarket support, but there's a lot of aftermarket knowledge, I should say. So if you want to get something cheap that you can build up yourself, these are definitely something that's very simple and easy to do compared to a lot of other options out there. So you can spend, can save a ton of money. As if you know the difference between a 12 millimeter and a 14 millimeter wrench.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the first gen pickups are becoming more and more expensive right now. I think the second gens in, you know, a matter of years are going to kind of follow suit. The third gen pickups, which is what Bobcat is, you know, I think are still a little bit on the pricier side than the second gens. For some reason, I think the second gen is like the black sheep of those three.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why the third gens, maybe it's just body style. Maybe it's more, you know, updated in the interior or something. I'm not sure what it is that's keeping the third gens a little bit more expensive when they more or less are the same exact thing as a second gen.
Yeah.
Except the body.
And yeah.
It's up the drivetrain, the axles, you know, the engines are all the exact same thing in the second gen and third gen. It's just updated body, updated interior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I had one that I was thinking of, but I forgot about it. But it came to my head as we were going through the podcast. I was like, "Oh, that'd be a great one for the cheap truck," and I can't remember it now because you mainly got me distracted on trying to build tractors into off-roading rigs again.
Nice. I can actually announce. I think that. So I sent Grindhard Plumbing the tail shaft, a part of the tail shaft of Samantha, because they are putting a 2UJ, a 2ZJ, what is the
super
motor? A what?
A 2UZ.
2UZ with a Toyota two-wheel drive transmission connected to a Jaguar rear axle. Into a tractor.
That's fantastic. That's awesome.
So the video came out on Friday.
Nice.
Of them using, I believe it came out on Friday. We're recording this ahead of schedule, but they sent me a text with a picture of it going together. And I guess the U-joints are the exact same from what a Jaguar, I don't know what it is, an E-Type or whatever, to the Toyota two-wheel drive transmission chunk that, you know, came out of Samantha. The U-joints are the same, so they just kind of disassemble it and put it all together. Literally, their drive shaft is like 6 inches long.
That's funny.
It's just the more or less the output with the U into the U-joint into the input of the Jaguar independent rear suspension.
That's funny. The Dirt Every Day did a build where they had a tiny, tiny little drive shaft like that.
Right.
I forget which one it was, but
it was a Hummer.
Yes.
When they shortened the Hummer.
It was the shortened Hummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which GovPlanet has some great deals on Hummers right now, too, just FYI.
I bet. I'm surprised Hummer didn't get onto our list.
Yeah. You know, Hummers generally make it on my list for a lot of things.
Yeah. Desert.
I was thinking outside of off-road.
Sorry, dessert.
Dessert. Yeah, that's what we're going to. Oh, man. No, there was a sweet little rig. I forget what it was called now, but it looked like a really, really beefed up golf cart with a four-cylinder turbo diesel engine in it with a bunch of toolboxes on the back for a military vehicle with, you know, the central air inflation systems. Everything that comes, portal axles on them, everything, for like $5,000. And I was so, so close to buying it and just being like, let's see if we can just get through the Rubicon without any modifications.
Yeah.
Go have some fun.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that I think an honorable mention is a school bus.
Oh yeah. For a tow rig or an overlanding vehicle.
I would cut the back half, like the back 3 feet off of a school bus, like whatever behind the last window, and then go like 12 feet forward and then cut the cab off again, weld the rear part onto the front part, sort of like bobbing a bed.
Okay.
You know, so you're bobbing the cab.
Okay.
But then you have the 12 feet or something, you know, 14 feet of frame rail that you can build a flat belly onto, or a flat, not a belly, but a, you know, a
bed,
car ramp.
A flat bed,
flat bed, thank you. And then you could use, then you have like a short bus that you can turn into like a sleeping quarters, and then you could have, and you throw your rig onto the back.
Let me know if you see any good deals on school buses.
You're the one that lives next to like that school bus wrecking yard.
Do I? There's a school bus wrecking yard near me?
I think there's one down right by the junction of highway, what is it, highway 50 and 80, right before you hit the confluence.
Interesting. I'm going to have
not
to...
Not the confluence.
The interchange?
What's it called? The what?
The big interchange, I guess?
Yeah, but when you drive over to Davis, what do you cross?
Oh, that's the causeway.
Causeway, thank you.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out. I didn't realize there was a school bus wrecking yard there. I might
there's
have to...
All, yeah, I don't know if it's a wrecking yard, but there's all like all kinds of big rigs and school buses over in there. Like, it might be a storage yard for them that's just a graveyard.
Oh, there you go. School bus graveyard. That would be even better, because then we can go and be like, hey, do any of these have good working engines and drivetrains that are just like torn up inside that you guys retired?
Yeah. Speaking of that, did you happen to see Ricky Bobby's story the other day?
I don't think so. Not if it has anything to do with school buses.
No, it has to do with lawnmowers.
Oh, no?
They bought 7 lawnmowers.
That's
they
awesome.
Went to this lawnmower wrecking yard, bought every single lawnmower that runs, and they're going to do some lawnmower racing.
That's great. He has too much fun. That guy's hilarious.
He's awesome.
Nice. We might have
to. That there's going to be like 20 of them racing.
Are we going to have to get a lawnmower and enter it into the racing?
I have a lawnmower in the back. I just need to figure out the fix the transmission or something on there.
Yeah. Well, we can throw a W56 in there.
Can we?
I don't know. That's a good question. All right. Well, cool. This has been a fun episode. Ended up being a little kind of random, kind of fun to discuss and figure out what we would do. Let me know what you guys think. I want to hear what people have to say, or if you have any off the wall stuff or things that you just think that we're way out of line choosing, like choosing a Ford Raptor to go deserting in. Let us know. So
I want to know what everybody else's picks would be for a cheap truck.
Yeah. That one's the fun category, because really that's where you get super creative and you get to see some fun ideas come out of the woodwork. So that would be really interesting. Maybe if we have a bunch of people write in, we'll kind of take a whole episode and go through everybody's cheap truck options. Yeah. We'll
that'd
kind
be
of
fun.
Collect
that'd
them
be a
up.
Lot of fun.
Cool. That'd be a lot of fun. Where can people do that at, Jimmy?
Yeah, you can message us over at Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com. You can hit me up if you want to on Instagram at snailtrail4x4. You can hit Tyler up on IG at 4x4 Toyota Tyler. I didn't mess it up that time. You're welcome.
Gracias.
You can also find Tyler over at Morflate. You can find me over at Snail Armor. You can find Tyler over at My Off-Road Radio. You can find me over at, I don't know if I have another one.
What's the Snail Trail PO box?
Yeah, if you want to send us stickers or any other love mail, you can do it at PO Box 1574 Loomis, California 95650.
Nice. I was testing you. I didn't think you would remember that one.
I got it memorized. Plus, nice. I have it over here.
Oh, you cheater.
No, it's way out of the way. Let me make sure I got it right. Yep, I did.
Nice. Good job. Do we have any more Australian mail?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All
nothing
right.
From down under.
That's too bad.
Crikey.
Okay. Well, cool. I think that's about it. Anything else you want to say? Any last words for everybody?
Previa.
Oh, no. There we go down that road. And with that, my friends, keep crawling your Previas. So one thing I did do this weekend is I went and checked out conjunctivitis.com.
Never heard of it.
It is definitely a site for sore eyes. All right, I'm done.